Wednesday, November 30th, and you're tuned in to the TIMB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We're talking about all the cool things in the world,
You know what's cool that's in the world right now?
What?
Only 25 days till Christmas.
Sure.
And you know what that means?
What?
I put a bunch of Christmas music on my iPod.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Fuck. Got like a good 80 songs.
Remind me to avoid your car for the next.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic.
25 days.
I love it. Michael Bublé.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, all the hits.
What about that NSYNC track?
NSYNC tracks.
Oh, God.
I got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from the movie. 1936 or something.
You upset me so
much.
Oh,
it's good stuff. Christmas music is the best.
Whatever. We got more important things to discuss this week.
Like what?
10 years. The long wait is over. Final Fantasy 15 is out. And I have an interesting fact about Final Fantasy and the number 15. Did you know? Well, first of all.
Okay, are we in affiliation with Did You Know Gaming at all?
No, we're not. Okay. But I'm just saying. So first of all, in order to count this correctly, 15 started out as versus 13. So that's what I'm going to use as the start date for when the development process happened. Okay. Did you know from the time that Final Fantasy 15, then known as Versus 13, was announced till this point, Ubisoft has put out 15 Assassin's Creed games?
That's insane.
Can you believe it?
I can, but when you put the numbers like that, it makes me sad.
That's crazy. That means that Ubisoft must have put out 1.2 Assassin's Creed games every year.
To be honest, like,
is that how it works?
Some of those games probably only count as 0.2, like, because they
suck. But still, that's crazy. I mean, talk about return on investment for Ubisoft.
That's more like,
I would hate to be a shareholder at Square when I see figures like that.
That's more like poor retention of employees. Like, that's what I look at it as, like.
But, so, speaking of which, Final Fantasy 15 is out. We are recording this on the release day. I think I'm the only one here who bought the game.
Yeah, I have Doom.
Yeah,
which I'm gonna talk about later.
Please do not throw that trash at me.
So I'm gonna wait till I finish Doom
before you get it.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's
also exams are coming up,
and you don't want to start a big game before exams.
Yeah,
why not?
Because I want to study and get good on exams.
But don't you just want to play damn games?
I do.
I know you're looking at the boys' road trip party. Don't you want to get in that?
The best, my best class was last semester when the class was actually a game.
Oh.
And I was just like, this is awesome. And then I got, like, killer marks.
Okay.
Like, awesome.
Well, yes. We're not going to talk about the game, though, because
none of us played it.
We haven't played it. Mine's still trying to install. So, and we probably won't talk about it for a long time.
Yeah, it's here.
It's out. It's here.
Get used to it.
What we will talk about, though, is the lead-up prequel movie, Kingsglaive, because we watched that today.
Yeah, we did.
Because it came with my copy on this fancy Blu-ray thing. Steelbooks box.
And you're like, oh, snap, I pre-ordered that.
I did.
Oops.
Yep. Uh-huh, total regret. Yep. That was, like, how much? 40 extra bucks
spend? How about this? I'll get the regular version.
No,
and
too late.
I pay you the difference.
No, too late.
Fuck.
Did you see that steelbook?
It's nice.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a nice steelbook.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Steelbook worth it?
Yeah.
Well, for someone who's not a steelbook guy?
I am not a steelbook guy, but the thing is, it comes with the slipcase that goes over it to make it look like a real PlayStation
slip
game.
Slipcases are nice.
Yeah. So, it's cool. But yeah, we watched Kingsglaive. Prequel to Final Fantasy 15, and it sets up the story. Essentially, there were these two warring kingdoms. They're still warring. They're on the verge of peace and signing a treaty.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, those never go out well.
Yeah, and then, of course not. Or else that wouldn't be a movie.
And both sides betray each other at the last second.
Stuff happens,
and we set off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the sunrise.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how the movie...
Yeah, yeah, it ends on the sunrise.
Yeah, that's how it does it. So, what'd you think of Kingsglaive, Anthony?
It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, It's a Final Fantasy movie, man. There's like a, like, I would equate this not to like Spirits Within. Uh-huh. Like, it wasn't that bad. I'd probably put it on the same level as Advent Children.
Really?
Like, here's a plot. Here's some cool stuff. And watch us have the sickest CG fights.
Yep.
And, like, if I want to, like, will it down to its bare essentials, like, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
But I really hope that this actually gives a good, like, jumping in point to Final Fantasy 15, where, if you remember with 13, where, like, it was like, hey, look, all this stuff is happening. Let's see Falsies, Crystals, stuff.
Mm.
Where do we learn about it? In the Codex. Read it. It's like no one reads the Codex, right? So you're just ultimately confused.
Mm.
So I wonder if there's any stuff that they left out in the main game, or if we would get more out of certain aspects of that game from seeing the movie already, from seeing the prequel.
Maybe. It could be. I mean, I think it's important to note that none of the characters in this movie are in the game, save for one.
Yeah, except for one.
Yeah.
Right? But it's still cool to, like, know the history of this, like, world that supposedly has years upon years of ancient bullshit happening for it, right?
Yeah.
And then actually learning, like, why does Noctis have, like, sick teleporting powers?
Yeah.
Oh. Because the movie told us.
Yeah. Right? Royal blood.
Royal blood. Sick rings.
Yeah.
Kings.
Yeah.
Doing all kinds of baller-ass shit.
There's a reason he's a prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the old wall.
Yeah.
Is way cooler than the new wall. The new wall's garbage. The old wall is where it's at.
Yeah, but the new wall protects so much more and so efficiently.
Yeah, but the old wall is just a bunch of dudes and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
I'm at, yes. That's so messed up when the giants just started teleporting. Yeah. And you're like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's actual bullshit.
Yeah.
But this movie also had, like, a lot of fan service. The most notable being, they just brought back Ouroboros from Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
The giant purple squid monster.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
He's just here?
Yeah.
And then he gets murders. Like, he gets just straight murdered. So it's like, man, that ruins stuff for any sort of boss happening later. Yeah. Lame.
Maybe there's more than one.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Could be. But overall, I want to say that the movie set up the world really great.
Yeah.
It just so happens that the story was real typical Final Fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Here's a crystal. Here's some dudes.
Mm.
Here's the guys that don't like the other dudes.
Mm.
We're going to fight.
Mm.
And then crystal magic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, you could kind of break down exactly what was going to happen pretty much the whole way through the movie.
Yeah.
But it was still a fun ride for how cookie cutter it was.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much on the same level with you. I might have liked it a bit more. I think it's the best Final Fantasy movie. I would say that.
What other ones are there?
This, Advent Children, Spirits Within.
Is there anything else?
Nothing of this scale.
Okay.
Nothing this major. I would put this one at the top only because Advent Children was cool. But Advent Children was in a different situation where it's like it came out after 7 became this behemoth of a thing,
okay.
So it was more like a fan service type of thing.
And then Spirits Within was something.
Yeah, and the other thing with Advent Children is its story was incoherent.
Like Final Fantasy VII.
I did not understand what happened in Advent Children.
Hi, Vince. Have you heard of The Life Stream, Your God and Savior?
That one, okay. The game was a little easier to follow, but when... I don't know who this nobody is, became Sephiroth. I was like, what?
Are you a Jenova's witness?
I was like, what just
Jenova
happened?
Chose him.
Yeah.
The life stream chose him.
Yeah. I don't know. So, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. I would fall to that. I would say that
this
movie is the best out of all the Final Fantasy movies.
And, like, the thing about Advent Children was, there was a lot of downtime, and you were just, it felt like you were waiting for all the cool shit to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsglaive was like, cool shit is always happening.
Yeah, even on the what is considered downtime,
it's
always like that level of political intrigue where you're like, oh,
yeah,
it's building up to some shit.
Yeah, I always felt like something was, like, I wasn't waiting for the magical set pieces that were going to happen. I was kind of like, oh, they're just doing it. They're doing cool things all the time.
Or like they kind of give you hints and glimpses at the magical set piece. Yeah. And it kind of makes you more hyped to see it when you actually see it.
Yeah. Definitely the movie is more about the world building than it is the actual plot. The plot is...
Because like in some way it's a prequel, so you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know the ending's going to be a bit tragic just because, well, hey, this is before the game, so...
Also, Sean Bean is voicing the king, so...
Yeah, so nothing that's outside the realm of a surprise. So there you go. Smaller things. Some of the voice acting was...
Not
good.
Good.
I think for me the bigger problem was the voice casting. Whoever casted the voices just... I don't know, you know that problem where... You see someone talk and it doesn't match their face.
Yes.
I feel like I had that a lot with this movie.
I had that with a few characters. I had that with the girl Black Mage.
I had that with her and the General of the Glaives.
The General of the Glaives,
with the sword, yeah.
I can see him.
Yeah.
And then I also... The part where I just thought was bad voice acting was the bigger guy who joined the Revolution.
I forget his name. It's like Nyx's friend.
Yeah, Nyx's friend.
Yeah.
And like that... His every time he talked, I was just like, either... It's the thing of your voice doesn't fit your face, or you're just terrible. Mm-hmm. So
even the princess, like as much as I like Lena Headey, she has a woman's voice, and we're looking at this like teenage girl.
Yeah,
and part of me was like, oh, it's a bit iffy.
You kind of expect the more high pitched.
Maybe it's because I associate that type of character design with like a high pitched anime girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be more on me than
also when she's spouting out lines like, "I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of." Not doing anything when I could have done something.
Yeah, and just then, like, wow.
Yeah, right?
Wise beyond your years.
Yeah. And you're like, man, you're like 12. That's crazy.
Yeah. But I think I enjoyed it. I mean, it was cool. I think once I play the game, I want to watch it again just to see how much it meant.
That would be an interesting watch.
It was cool.
There was also just like, there was so obviously like, these are the good guys. Mm-hmm. These are the bad guys. And, like, they have so many, like, dualities just within their appearance. Like, the bad guys use guns, the good guys use swords. The bad guys wear white, the good guys wear black.
That I feel like that's always in Japanese fiction now.
The bad guys are about tech, the good guys are about magic.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's always just like here's the dividing line.
Yeah.
They are on the opposite of every single possible decision you can make.
I gotta say the world of Final Fantasy 15 is pretty cool.
It is cool.
I guess I was expecting like tech magic, but like the classic steampunk mix.
But it's not.
But it's not. Yeah. This is like our world if magic was real.
Sort yeah, like, it's all sleek, streamlined.
Yeah, it looks like Tokyo, if Tokyo had...
Sick magic.
Yeah. And you're just like, that's a feature I hope I get to see one day.
Also, I agree with your point that you made throughout the whole movie.
What?
Teleports just seem like cheating.
Yeah, it does.
Like, these guys can just chuck a dagger, and then wherever that dagger lands, they're like, whoop, and they just appear there.
The one thing I was waiting for was them to chuck a dagger in someone.
Oh, but they never did it.
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Well, it always seems like they teleport to the handle.
So, like, what if they shoved that handle inside?
I don't know, man. You'd have to take that risk. That's not something I'm willing to take.
Just saying, you know? Yeah, no, it was really cool the way that they depicted magic, especially when they put up, like, when they cast, like, Barrier or Reflect.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, whoa.
All those animations were really cool. Barrier and Reflect were the coolest looking for me. Because when they shattered, it was like a rain of glass almost.
It's like rainbows.
Spirit glass. Like that stuff looked super visually appealing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, of course, they have a car in this game. I mean, this movie.
You mean an Audi?
They have an Audi. There's Audi advertisement throughout the movie.
I think it's in the game, too.
It might be.
I can't remember.
It might be. But I know it's primarily from this movie. Yeah, they have the custom Audi R8. Custom. And it does the most unrealistic thing in the movie.
Yeah, it drives down the side of... were you talking about the down the side of a building?
No, I was talking about...
Or are you talking about the reverse?
I'm talking about the reverse 180, where he doesn't really move. The car literally hovers and spins.
It just spins? Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you can buy that car if you want.
Yeah, it's like a... $750,000?
Actually, you can't buy that car. Because there's only one in the entire world. Audi only built one, but they took advice from the Japanese and they said, okay, we'll do it like you guys want it. Lucky draw. So first of all, you have to qualify to be able to buy this car.
Okay, how do you qualify?
You have to meet a certain income threshold.
All right.
The average person who's in this threshold owns, the average, owns 64 cars, 3 boats, and a private jet. So that's the average income of the people who are qualified.
So you're saying I can get in?
Yeah, okay. I am saying that. But you can be part of the lottery.
Yeah, I'm part of the lottery, obviously.
And then, of course, randomly pick someone and like, give them a call and say, hey, you have the honor of buying this car.
Oh, you're the you don't get it. Would you like to buy it?
Yes. Yes. That's what it is.
So in somewhere, Jay Leno in his garage or car collection, that's a Final Fantasy Audi.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to retail for $400,000. For context, the regular R8 is $180,000.
Yeah.
So it's just
other than a
collector paint, tax.
Yeah. Other than a paint job and some sick chrome, like, I don't think...
Well, it's not just a paint job and secret. Like, they have added a lot of custom detailing to it.
Did they?
It's really cool if you see it.
Oh.
Like, all those, like, royalty symbols on the side, though, that's not paint. That's like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
those are just straight, like.
It's like embossed.
Metal.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And it's really cool. Totally not worth it, but I mean, that's not the point of this car, right?
Yeah,
it's a collector's item. So, yeah. It's as a car, no. But then again, supercars aren't really worth what they cost. They're fun, expensive toys.
Yeah.
You
take them to a track. They're not for the road.
Yeah, and they're expensive collector's items. So, I mean, if I could, I would totally would like to. I might even steal one.
But... steal the only one.
Yeah. But it's cool that they only built one. I wonder if Audi would let you take it home, though.
What do you mean?
You know Ferrari?
Yeah.
So they're high-end cars. They let you buy it, but they stay at Maranello.
Why?
And they let you bring it to any track in the world where you can drive it, but they bring out a whole team to maintain it while you're there, and when you're done, they bring it back to the factory.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's weird, right? So that's why I don't know, because there's only one of these, will Audi actually let you bring it home and then do whatever you want with it?
Huh. Mm. Wait, so like if... Wait, I guess... Wait, there are higher stuff than like, say, an Enzo?
Yeah.
Dang.
Have you ever seen, like, when Ferrari specifically tuned yet? Like, look up the Ferrari FXX.
Okay.
That's the Enzo, but the Enzo if Ferrari were given unlimited rain to tune it without restricting it to the road.
Huh.
Yep.
Dang.
It's nuts.
Dang.
Yeah.
So it broke down after one lap.
Yeah.
Because it's an Italian car.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Pretty much.
Got it. Listen, we had this conversation before. Italians make great food, but we don't make things that last.
No. No. Hence why food is great.
Yeah, food is great.
Food does not last.
Yeah, food does not last. You eat it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Kinclave. We should put a number on it, I think.
I would give it... I'd give it a 3.
So 7 out of 10?
Huh?
6 out of 10?
Listen, we've also had this conversation.
Yes, yes.
I'd give it a 3 out of 5.
I'm with you on that one. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I wasted my time.
Yeah, that movie's also 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, they packed in a lot of information in 2 hours.
Yep. Cool. Let's move into our picks of the week.
Let's do it.
I didn't really have anything picked out, but I do have to say something.
Okay. Oh, all right. It's like soapbox time?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just mean like Formula One's over.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I knew I was supposed to do something this weekend.
F1 is over.
Shit.
We have our new champion.
Oh, it is.
Nico Rosberg.
Oh!
So here are the circumstances.
All
Lewis
right.
Hamilton had to win, but he had to make sure Nico finished 4th or
okay.
lower.
So he wouldn't get enough points to still take it.
Here's the problem.
He finished?
They're both in the same car. The fastest car on the grid.
Oh, okay.
So even if Lewis wins, everyone kind of knew there's no way Nico wouldn't finish 2nd. He's just in a powerful car. And like all of us kind of knew this going in, or like the entire F1 world kind of knew who's going to win. Even Lewis knew who's going to win.
Okay.
But the way... So... The weekend happens, and Lewis, he's out front. He's dominating. He's like, listen, I've got this track on lockdown. I'm going to win the race. Everybody knows this.
All right.
Sure enough, he starts first, and he's leading every lap.
Yeah.
Nico second, but Ferrari and Red Bull are pretty close. They're not close enough that they could catch the Mercedes, but if something were to happen, they're pretty close. So the whole race, Lewis decides, I'm not going to drive at my fullest. I'm just going to drive slow and make sure... that I hold up Nico.
Huh.
And the whole race, he drives really slow in front, but just fast enough that he can't be overtaken.
Okay. That seems risky.
Oh, it does. It does. But Nico, remember, Nico's in this mindset where there's so much pressure on him that all he has to do is finish. So he's never going to try and overtake because he doesn't want to risk crashing or whatever. And it gets to the whole political thing. All the Mercedes team bosses come talk to Lewis and like, listen, you got to go. You got to move. And he's like, sorry, but I'm winning the race. I think I got this under control. And then, and they're like, Lewis, this is Toto, or this is Patty. This is an instruction. Move. And he's like, sorry, Patty, I'm in first. I'm currently winning. We're going to win. Don't worry. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, like, they all start talking. Like, they all get on the phone. They're like, or on the radio, like, Lewis, you gotta move. Like, anarchy's happening. And he's like, just stay out of this. Let us race. And then that's it. And then you don't hear radio contact from he cuts the radio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mercedes 1-2, whatever. It's happy days. But the current story now is Lewis Hamilton is in risk of losing his Mercedes contract.
Ooh.
Like, completely. I don't think it's going to happen.
I saw a thing on your Twitter, mentioning that, like there's no way they would drop, like, the best driver.
Yeah, there's just no way. I mean, because then every other team would snap him up, and then that's a decision they would regret in the future. Because it's not so much that they lose a great driver, it's who do they replace him with.
Kimi Räikkönen.
No.
Who's that 18-year-old?
He's on lockdown for, like, till 2020 with Red
Bull. Oh, really? Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's like, an interesting, like, management
decision. So that was the story of Formula 1.
So Lewis Hamilton won
the race,
but he didn't get enough points.
Yeah, he lost, I think, by, like, 2 points.
Okay.
So.
But the thing is, like... Like, do you set a precedent of, like...
So they do set precedents, and he broke all of them in this race.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And he's just like, so, like, Mercedes is going to be like, listen, no, we pay you, or your boss, like, you have to listen to us. And then if you're, like, what Lewis is saying is, I'm good enough, fuck y'all, you need me more than I need you.
Yes.
Right? And if someone can do that, how does that hurt... Mercedes, like, standing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they set these precedents for because there's two championships, right? The driver one and the constructor. The
constructor, yeah.
They set these precedents so that Mercedes will win the championship for the constructors. Mm-hmm. They did that 3 races ago. This is purely for the drivers. Mm-hmm. And so what he's saying is, listen, we won. Now it's just me and Nico. Like, it doesn't matter. Mercedes is really top dog. We're guaranteed the win. It doesn't matter.
So they Mercedes won both championships.
Yeah,
so
like, both ways we win. It's just which one of us will win.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it's definitely like a huge political thing. Since then, Nico has come out and he said, like, listen, I can totally understand why he did it.
And he's like,
guess what? Any other driver in the same situation would have done the same thing. And it's like, what can you do, right?
Like, yeah, when you're looking at it from Hamilton's side, it's like, there's no downside to his decision. Like, it's just, let me have my fun, and also, we're winning either way. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a reason why he's considered one of the greatest, right? Mm-hmm. It's because he has that attitude.
Yeah.
He's, like, all the best ones who want to win.
I know a lot of people with great attitudes, but maybe not the skills to pay the bills, right? So.
No, but I'm saying in that world... I mean, Sebastian Vettel Michael Schumacher was the number one of that.
Okay.
If I remember that correctly. That guy was evil. But he has 7 world titles and 90 wins. But he's Michael
fucking Schumacher.
Yeah, right? So, whatever. But yeah, that was my little pick. I was, it was an emotional day
for me.
Cried at 8 in the morning.
You know what else is making people cry?
Tell me.
Specifically, 8-year-olds.
Oh.
The new trailer for Cars 3.
Wow.
So Cars 3, Pixar, they released a new trailer, and
it's... Hold on, let's not call it a trailer, it's a teaser.
It's a teaser, it's not a trailer, it's a teaser. And it shows the main character, Lightning McQueen, going fast around that NASCAR track.
Gotta go fast.
I
want to go fast!
You know what can happen when you go fast?
You go fast?
You can crash and burn.
Oh.
And that's what he does! The whole teaser is McQueen's tire blowing out, him rolling, hitting a wall, rolling, and then While he's in the air, eyes closed, McQueen looks super defeated, fade to black. Like cut, yeah. Or hard cut to black.
Yeah.
And then it says, this changes everything. Cars 3.
Oh,
and that's it.
Wow.
And so it has sparked a whole comment war of angry parents being like, listen, I brought my kid to see the new movie with The Rock in it, the Hawaiian movie. And what's with this dark fucking shit? Like, kids crying in the theater, having to leave. Like, there's a whole, like, a bunch, like, set of reaction videos on YouTube now of just kids, like, watching, like, Cars! I love Cars! And then as soon as they see McQueen flipping through there, like, their face goes from 100% joy to 1,000% sadness.
Yeah.
And they're like, what is happening?
It doesn't help that, like, there's this huge, like, grainy filter.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the early days of the 360 and PS4 where all games were brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
And it's just, like, the darkest shit I've seen.
I'm excited.
But, like, so, like, other people have brought up really fun, or, like, not really fun stuff, but more eye-opening statements of, like, listen, Pixar movies have been always fucking dark.
Yeah.
Like, the dude in Up lost, like, couldn't have a kid.
Yeah.
Lost his wife.
Yeah.
Was alone for however long.
Yeah.
Right, and then or like all kinds of stuff that happens in Pixar movies. I guess it's just more so that like they showed it in the teaser,
yeah,
like right away. To be honest, I thought it was pretty dark, but it wasn't anything I thought was nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was pretty. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been way worse
because they don't show that car like exploding to bits. It's
yeah.
It's actually it cuts mid-flight, so you don't know the yeah. outcome of it. So
I also heard in Cars 2 that there's some sort of like pseudo torture scene.
You haven't seen Cars 2?
I have not seen Cars 2.
They get guns.
I'm sorry, what?
You should watch Cars 2. It's not good, but it's...
They get guns?
What if I told you Twisted Metal?
Okay, I'm more of a Vigilante 8 kind of guy.
Oh, God. Vigilante.
Vigilante 8.
Yeah. What if I told you that?
I'd be down. I'd be down with the sickness.
But it's still racing.
That's okay. That's weird. That's more like Full Auto.
What if I told you Lewis Hamilton's in it?
What? Yeah. He's in Call of Duty. He's in Cars. What isn't he in?
Yeah. Cars 2 is a weird movie. Like, it's awful.
Okay.
But it's all something right. You should see just to be like, Disney, what the fuck happened
more,
here?
More things I gotta watch. Cars 2, Toy Story 3,
yeah.
Some other stuff.
Yeah.
I wanna see that new Rock movie.
Okay.
Mauna? M-O-A-N-A?
Mauna?
But yeah, people are losing their minds. If you can, I recommend looking up some reaction videos of kids.
I can imagine.
It's like that Simpsons episode when Lisa breaks up with Ralph, and then Bart has the videotape. He's like, look, you can see the exact frame when his heart shatters into pieces.
Oh,
right? It's like that scene, but in real life.
Wow.
It's pretty funny.
Awful.
And then the other news I got is that multiple sources,
okay,
tell Polygon.com.
Oh, these guys, yep.
That the greatest crossover game.
Oh, this.
Is coming 2017.
Huh.
When I say greatest crossover game, what do you think of?
Marvel versus Capcom.
Exactly. Marvel vs. Capcom 4 is apparently being announced sometime in the week alongside the Capcom Cup for Street Fighter V.
Wow.
And it is slated for a 2017 release.
Wow.
It is something I am very excited for.
Me too.
Because as soon as Disney bought Marvel, they actually, because of the way the contract they had with Marvel and Capcom had, they couldn't update that game anymore.
I remember.
And they had to pull all DLC down from the store.
They had to pull the game from the store.
They had to pull the whole game from the store. So if you have a digital copy, I think you're allowed to re-download it. But if you wanted to buy, say, the DLC costumes, you can't do that anymore. If you didn't have Jill or Shumagorath, you can't download them anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So it was kind of a big deal. And like it shaped the way that game was played competitively.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty much like, hey, this is all we have.
Yeah.
We have to abuse the shit out of these systems.
Yeah.
and nobody can fix it. So pretty much it became the Wild West. Anything you found, any bug that wasn't inherently game-breaking was legal.
Yeah.
Right? But now a new game's coming out. Rumor has it that it's going to be the Marvel side is going to be very focused on the cinematic universe.
I hear.
So there's not going to be really any mutants.
No X-Men and Marvel's Capcom.
People are saying that it will be a Wolverine-less game.
I think they're going to at least get Wolverine.
Maybe.
I think they'll get Wolverine. That's it.
That's it? For the mutants? No Storm? No Cyclops? You don't think they're going to bring Storm? Cyclops?
I feel like Cyclops is a... Storm and Cyclops are kind of like permanents, but at the same time, if you have to pick one, it's got to be Wolverine.
What if instead of Wolverine, the only mutant they bring back is the Raging Cajun?
Gambit?
It's just Gambit.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, in a new Marvel vs. Capcom game, what are some characters you would want to see?
New characters or
it doesn't matter, just characters you would want to see, new, old, to return to.
Okay, well, I mean, at this point, you know, everything that's been in three I think are great. They are all good choices. But
listen, this is 2017.
Yeah,
this is the time where
New World
Capcom releases a fighting game with like 8 characters.
Yeah,
so
I do not want any of the Resident Evil characters back.
You don't want Jill, Chris?
No, instead I want Monster Hunter characters.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yes,
just Hunter.
Yeah,
or just a Rathalos.
Yeah. I don't know if we can do that, but I would like Hunter.
What about Rajang?
I want Hunter, and I want all his combos to use all the different weapons.
That'd be cool. It'd be like Amaterasu with the weapon switches.
And yeah, I want his ultimate to be to call in all his buddies. And they all do shit.
What if it's... Or, like, they put down a shock trap.
Yeah, they put down a shock, and then they put the bombs, and then they go.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Hunter would be awesome, actually. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think, coming from the Marvel side, maybe a Fantastic Four character or two.
Have there never been?
No Invisible Woman, no...
No Thing. No I guess, thing. Why would you have the Thing of the Hulk?
You have the Hulk, true.
The stretching? You have Dalsim.
Yeah, you have Dalsim. What? Oh, Dalsim.
Oh, he wasn't in the
Street Fighter side.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be weird.
Huh.
There's a whole bunch of characters I can think of. Take away Phoenix and put in Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Ultron.
That'd be cool.
If they're really heavily focusing on the cinematic universe.
I think it would be cool if they reworked certain characters.
Oh, like older characters that were already in the game?
Like, I would want a Tony Stark, and he has a meter to build up the suit.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then you get the suit.
Oh, you want him to start just Tony Stark. Ooh. Like, that sounds like how Phoenix Wright had to find evidence.
Yeah, I want Tony Stark with a gauntlet. Like, and he just do the one repulsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
I mean, that'd be total bullshit, but yeah.
I think I would like a Tony Stark in, like, you know how like Dante has the Devil Trigger mode?
Oh, but you want that with Hulkbuster mode?
But you could do, like, Hulkbuster or, like, Extremis.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or the shape-shifting armor. Yeah, that'd be right? Neat.
Winter Soldier, yeah, right.
Winter Soldier would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
For some reason, I just want original Bionic Commando, not new talk-to-my-mom-in-my-arm Bionic Commando with the dreads.
Oh.
Like, I want red hair soldier Bionic Commando.
Him. Yeah, okay, sure.
Capcom games, man. Bring back Jin.
Oh.
Yeah. I want to explode into fiery nudity.
Melodia! Melodia! Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's really exciting. That game has always been insane fun, but it's always been a game to me that is impenetrable on a competitive level.
Yeah.
They're like Street Fighter, and like the highest I can get in craziness is probably like Blaze Blue or Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
But that game is on its whole other plane of existence of how fast that game is.
Yeah.
You have to have like the reactions of a robot to deal with some of the mix ups of that stuff. Or just, you gotta be lucky. You just gotta guess those 50-50s, right?
Yeah.
But it's exciting. So look for it later in the week.
Yeah.
Capcom, or watch the Capcom Cup. Actually, like, Street Fighter right now is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Especially with the addition of Urien. He does a lot of crazy stuff. So.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fun. Cool. Fun times.
Okay, I forgot about this. I forgot this is around, so this is going to be my actual pick.
Okay.
It's a bit lengthy, so bear with me. The Game Awards are on Thursday.
Oh, the controversy.
I've got the nominees. Anthony, we're going to play a game. We're going to pick who's going to win.
Listen, I already know who's going to win Best Fighting Game.
We'll get there when we get there.
No, it's going to win. I know it.
Okay. I'm going to start from the bottom, work our way up to the big stuff. Okay, right, ready?
Let's do it.
Most anticipated game.
All right.
God of War.
Wait, okay. Should we write this down? Like, do you want to take bets on this?
Okay. Well, okay. I guess I should set up here.
Okay. Because, I want to know how wrong we actually are.
Okay.
When the time comes.
Oh, you want to know?
Yeah. Okay. I can grab a pen and paper.
No, I opened up a Google Doc. It should be pretty quick. Game of the Year and predictions.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry if you hear all the clatter on my keyboard.
Live editing.
Yeah, this is how we roll. This is what we do. Okay, so we're going to start with most anticipated game.
All right.
For reference, you will be the first person I put down. Like, your entry will be the first, mine will be the second, so I have the writer names.
All right.
Okay. God of War,
mm-hmm.
Horizon Zero Dawn, Mass Effect Andromeda, Red Redemption Dos, and The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I'll let you go first. I know you're thinking, I know when you heard Horizon, you're like, easy. Then you heard the other ones, and you're like, fuck.
Because, Horizon Zero Dawn is the easy choice because everyone's still anticipated for it.
Yeah.
But people are hyped on Zelda. Mm. People are hyped on God of War.
Mm.
I'm gonna stick with Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Robot Dinosaurs.
Interesting. Okay, I'm gonna go Zelda.
Alright.
I'm gonna take the easy way out on this one. Okay, next up is Best Fan Creation. Do you wanna skip this one?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll skip this one.
Whatever.
Do you wanna do Trending Gamer?
Trending Gamer! The worst award every year at the Game Awards.
Do you wanna do this one?
Yeah, let's do it, because it's terrible.
Okay.
It's so bad it loops around on itself.
Okay. Trending Gamer. Angry Joe Show.
No.
Boogie 2988.
I don't know who that is.
He's the really fat dude on YouTube.
Oh, the guy who does magic unboxings.
Sometimes, yeah. Danny O'Dwyer.
All right.
Jacksepticeye.
No.
Lyric.
I don't know who that is.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pick Danny O'Dwyer.
Danny?
Because Danny's no clip segments on, Rocket League?
Yeah.
Or it was amazing. I think that series is great. And if Danny doesn't win, I'll just be severely disappointed.
You're an idiot. It's Jacksepticeye is going to win this one.
Not Angry Joe Show?
No. I'll tell you why you're a fool, because you're looking at it from a mature video game.
Oh, 100%. I'm pick that choice. I know I'm going to lose, but I'm putting my vote on record.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do Best Esports?
Oh, of course I do.
Okay, Esports game. Our nominees are Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Oh, go.
Dota Dos. League of Legends. Street Fighter V.
No.
And Overwatch. You all know where my vote is. Where's yours?
Do you know if this award is voted by audience or voted by?
These are all voted by the judge.
By the judges.
I think except for most anticipated, but they're all by the judges.
If it's by judges, I'm going to go Overwatch.
Okay, we both pick Overwatch. Overwatch. That's locked in. Yep, that's an instant win.
1 point on the board.
Bet, do you want to do esports player? Nah, let's not.
Or we could and just be oblivious to everyone they name. let's not do that.
No, I don't know half these people.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that.
Best multiplayer game.
All right.
A best multiplayer game. We've got Battlefield 1, Gears of War 4, Overcooked.
It's great.
Overwatch.
I think he was okay.
Rainbow Six Siege.
No.
And Titanfall 2. Mm. That makes it tough.
Oh! For me, it's between Titanfall 2 and Overcooked.
Okay.
Titanfall 2 is just fucking quality.
Yeah.
And then Overwatch is a fantastic party game.
Well, which way are we going to roll the dice on this one?
It's by the judges. Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2?
Yeah.
Titanfall 2 Overwatch.
I'm trying to metagame it.
Yeah. Best sports slash racing game. You ready? Sports or racing?
Crash Team Racing.
FIFA 17.
That's not a racing game.
Forza Horizon 3. MLB The Show 16.
Nope.
NBA 2K17.
Nope.
And Pro Evolution Soccer 2017.
These are American judges, right?
I think it's a collective from around the
world. What was the first one again?
FIFA.
And the second one?
Forza. Anytime.
FIFA.
FIFA 17. I'm going to go Forza Horizon 3. Awesome. Best strategy game. Strategy game. I always have to say that one out when I spell it.
It sounded out.
I did.
No, I mean, that's fine. Sounding out words is okay.
Civilization 6.
I heard that's really good.
Fire Emblem Fates.
Haven't played it.
Banner Saga 2.
Nope.
Total War Warhammer. And XCOM 2.
For that one, I'm going to go Civ.
Civ 6. Civ 6. And I'm going to go Fire Emblem because I have to.
Because it's in your blood.
Yeah.
It's in your royal blood.
If I see it on the list, like, how can that game even be nominated? No one played it. Okay, best family game. This should be fun.
Bill Gates' favorite game, Fusion Frenzy.
Dragon Quest Builders.
All right.
Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Those Lego games are good.
Pokemon Go! Ratchet and Clank. And Skylanders Imaginators.
Pokemon Go has to win that.
Okay, yeah, I was going to go with the same one. All right. Pokemon Go. Sounds good. Next up is, ready for it?
Yeah.
The best fighting game.
I know what it is. You don't even have to read the list.
Oh, you know?
Because you want to know what it is?
Okay,
tell it's me. Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite Duel.
So the nominees are Killer Instinct Season 3. Oh, just Season 3.
Yeah, because that's separate.
King of Fighters 14.
That's a great game.
Pokken Tournament. That's, and okay. Street Fighter 8 characters only.
Okay, wait, hold on. You said and. There's only four games on that list. Where's Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite Duel?
It's not here.
Why?
It's not a real fighting game.
Yes, it is!
No, it says here on the video game awards, Nitro Plus Blasters is not a real fighting game.
I'm pretty sure that's not what it says, but the fact that it's absent from the list, you might as well say that.
I'm speaking for them.
Oh, that's stupid. Also, didn't Guilty Gear Revelator come out this year?
It might have, but it's an anime game.
Those are the... Ah! This sucks.
Okay.
My real choice is Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator. But
that's not a real fighting game.
For a choice on the list, I'm going to go King of Fighters.
King of Fighters? You're going to go KOF?
Yeah, King of Fighters.
KOF.
14?
I have no... I'm just going to Street Fighter, because what the hell is Street Fighter? The best role-playing game. Ooh, this one should be interesting.
I still can't believe they didn't put Heroines Infinite Duel on the fucking list.
Yeah, well, what can you do, right?
You can be Super Sonico and throw cats!
And that's why it's not a real fighting game.
God damn it.
Nominees for the best RPG are Dark Souls 3.
RPGR?
Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Okay.
No, this is weird. The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, Blood and Wine. So it's just the expansion the DLC. Packs. Yeah. World of Warcraft Legion expansion.
Nope.
Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Sorry, can you go for the first one again?
First Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Deus Ex. Mankind Divided.
Okay. Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with you on that one. So Xenoblade X. We'll call that
XXC.
X. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Like Charlie XCX?
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Next up is the best action slash adventure game. The nominees for this one are Dishonored 2.
Okay.
Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper Light Drifter.
Okay.
I should play that. Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
I've played zero of those games.
Me too.
Uncharted 4 wins.
You know, Uncharted 4? Yeah. I'm going to go and say Dishonored 2.
What?
Uncharted 4. Only because I haven't played Uncharted.
All right.
And the Dishonored reviews are a lot more relevant in my mind.
But also, I hate Dishonored, so.
Yes. Okay, next category is the best action game. Best action game. I wonder what we can have here. Battlefield 1.
Okay.
Doom.
It's a good game.
Gears of War 4.
Mm-hmm.
Overwatch.
Okay.
And Titanfall 2.
Ooh.
I bet you thought Doom was an easy lock-in, huh?
Here's the thing with Doom. I am playing through Doom right now, and I will talk about it in my week.
Yeah.
That game, single player, is fucking quality.
Yeah.
But only the single player.
Okay.
Whereas Titanfall 2 is a quality package.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go Titanfall 2.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm going to go Titanfall 2. All right, you convinced me. Titanfall Dos. Titanfall Dos. Do you want to do best VR?
We haven't, none of us, no.
Okay. We're not going to do it. Do you want to do best mobile?
Oh, of course I do.
Oh, wait. Best mobile handheld. Sorry. It's one category. We have to.
Oh, they're going to put Pokemon Go against Pokemon?
I think so.
Swear to God if Pokemon Go wins.
Clash Royale.
You.
Fire Emblem Fates.
Okay.
Monster Hunter Generations.
There it is.
Pokemon Go. Severed.
Severed? That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Monster Hunter Generations. What?
MH Gen?
That's strictly the best one.
Okay, I put Fire Emblem.
You know we both lost that category, right? Because it's going to be Pokemon Go.
Whatever. Best indie game.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
You're going to have fun with this one.
Firewatch.
All right.
Hyper Light Drifter, Inside, Stardew Valley, The Witness.
Those are all really good games.
Yeah, I heard.
I've only played Stardew Valley out of all of those, so I'm gonna have to pick Stardew Valley.
You gonna pick Stardew?
Yeah.
Stardew Valley. I'll pick Firewatch because that's the game I want to go and sell the most.
Well, but what? But Vince, there's gonna be a physical copy soon.
I don't care. Games for Impact Award?
I guess, like, literally, like, what hit you the hardest?
For a thought-provoking game with a profound social meaning or message?
Pokemon Go!
Do you want to do this one?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see how hipster we can be.
Okay. Best. Okay. Impact Award. Impact Award. Alright. Fuck, whatever.
The deepest impact.
1979 Revolution.
I don't know what that is.
Me either. Block and Hood.
Still don't know what that is.
Okay. Orwell.
Nope.
How about Sea Hero Quest?
No.
That Dragon, comma, Cancer.
I know what that is. Let's skip this one.
Okay, that's
let's skip this one. I don't know what to do here.
Okay, best performance. I guess this is by a voiceover or MO,
yeah.
Motion capture. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. That mocap, though.
Yeah. Best performance. Looks like our nominees are Alex Hernandez as Lincoln Clay, Mafia 3.
Okay.
Sissy Jones as Delilah.
Wait, his name is Sissy?
No, this is the girl on the other end of the call on Firewatch.
Okay.
But yes, that's, yeah. Emily Rose as Elena, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
Okay.
Nolan North as Nathan Drake, Uncharted 4,
right.
Thief's End. Rick Summer as Henry, Firewatch. Or Troy Baker as Sam Drake, Uncharted 4. Pick one of the Uncharted people.
Yeah, like, laws of statistics. Like, I'm gonna go with...
Tried and true, Nolan North?
No, the other guy.
Troy Baker.
I'm going with the new blood.
Baker. I'm gonna go...
You're gonna go with the old guard?
I'm gonna go with the old guard, man. Nolan North. It's gonna be Emily.
She's You're shackled by your past, Vince. You're unable to see the future.
Best music? So, or sound design.
Right.
Battlefield 1, Doom, Inside, Res Infinite, and Thumper.
The soundtrack for Doom is good.
Remember, it's soundtrack or sound design.
Sound design. I think all the judges are going to lose their mind about Thumper.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Thumper.
Thumper? I'm going to pick Battlefield 1. Because those bombs, though.
Because those bombs, though.
They be dropping them bombs, you know?
That's dark. That's dark.
Best Art Direction. So for Best Art Direction, we have Abzu.
Okay.
Firewatch.
All right.
Inside.
All right.
Overwatch.
Uh-huh.
Uncharted. Uncharted, really?
Firewatch.
Yeah, Firewatch looks pretty sick.
Yeah, Firewatch looks pretty.
It does. I'm going to go Overwatch.
Traitor.
I picked a watch, whatever.
Yeah, you picked the one with the watch in it?
Yeah. Okay, best narrative. This one's going to be tougher, but okay. Firewatch.
Nope.
Inside.
Haven't played it.
Mafia 3.
Still haven't played it.
Oxenfree.
I don't.
Uncharted 4.
Haven't played any of those.
Okay, here we go.
Do I have to pick one?
You do.
I pick Doom.
No. Just say Mafia 3.
No, but the thing I've heard is just like that. Is sometimes that game seems like racially tone deaf for how they try and bring up racial stuff.
Yep.
But like, if I'm thinking of what kind of judges are going to be on this list, they're probably going to pick it anyways. I'll go Mafia 3.
Oh, you are going to go Mafia 3.
Yeah, I'll go Mafia 3.
Mafia 3.
Because like, usually it's the same judges every year for that thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Jeff Keighley's Best Homeboys.
Yeah. Well, I picked Firewatch.
All right.
Best Studio.
Ghibli.
Best Studio / Game Direction. Game Direction. Okay. Oh, nope, sorry. Blizzard for Overwatch.
Okay.
DICE for Battlefield 1. Id Software for Doom. Naughty Dog for Uncharted. Or Respawn for Titanfall 2. So this is the Best Director's Award.
Best Director? I'm gonna go Overwatch.
Blizzard?
Yeah, Blizzard for Overwatch.
Look at you, picking Blizzard. So do I. Okay, are we finally here? Game of the Year!
This is where Nitro Plus Blaster's Heroines Infinite Duel is gonna be. I knew it!
For those who don't know, Game of the Year is recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields.
Listen, Nitro Plus Blaster's Heroine Infinite Duels is the best experience of throwing cats at my foes.
Your nominees are Doom.
All right.
By Id Software.
All right.
Inside.
I should really play Inside.
By Playdead. Overwatch. By Blizzard Entertainment. Notice how they're all one word titles. Titanfall 2.
Except for this one.
By Respawn. And finally, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End by Naughty Dog. Now, we've had a conversation before, previously me and you, about our personal Game of the Years.
Yeah.
And I know none of yours are on here, and one of mine is here.
None of mine are on that.
So, I'm interested to hear what you're going to pick.
Because, like, everyone lost their mind about... Like, I'm trying... Yeah, again, like, the problem with this contest is that I'm trying to metagame the judges.
Don't. That's not having fun.
Out of all of those?
Yeah.
Game of the Year?
Yeah.
From what I have played, Titanfall 2.
Okay. You picked Titanfall 2?
I picked Titanfall
2. Titanfall 2. Titanfall dos. I pick Overwatch.
Okay.
Ready? That's it. Those are all the categories. Now you've heard them all.
Yeah.
Would you like me to repeat them back for you?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. Most anticipated game. Anthony picks Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Zero Dawn. I pick Zelda Breath of the Wild. Trending Gamer goes to Danny O'Dwyer for Anthony, where it goes to Jacksepticeye for myself.
It's terrible. Terrible.
The best esports game as decided by both of us is Overwatch, and I guarantee that will win.
It won't.
Guarantee.
It won't. We both lose.
I guarantee.
We both lose.
Best multiplayer game for Anthony is Titanfall 2, and for myself, it is Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
The best sports / racing game, Anthony says FIFA 17, because he likes that footy.
I like that footy.
And I pick Forza Horizon 3, because I like things that go fast. Best strategy game, Anthony picks Civilization 6. and I admit I lost this category by picking Fire Emblem Fates.
As long as you know.
Best family game we've both decided is Pokemon Go, which we both can win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
Best fighting game, Anthony says King of Fighters. I say Street
no,
Fighter.
No, I say Heroines Infinite Duel Nitro Plus Blasters.
So are you saying that I could cross out King of Fighters, and you're no, just going to give up the category?
Because it's not on the list.
Best role-playing game for both of us is Xenoblade Chronicles X Cross. Best action-adventure game, Anthony says Uncharted 4. I say Dishonored 2. The best action game award goes to Titanfall 2 from both of us.
Because it is the best game.
The best mobile/handheld title, Anthony says Monster Hunter Generations. I have picked Fire Emblem Fates. The best indie game, Anthony says Stardew Valley. I say Firewatch. Best performance, Anthony says Young, the young blood of Troy Baker. Well, I picked the old guard of Nolan North.
You wasted your vote.
Music or sound design, Anthony chooses Thumper. I have chosen Battlefield 1. Best art direction in a video game for the year, Anthony has chosen Firewatch. I have chosen Overwatch.
One of the watches are going to win.
And that's pretty, I'm pretty sure on that. Best narrative, Anthony says Mafia 3. I have said Firewatch, despite neither of us playing either games.
Yep.
The best game direction or best studio, we have both claimed as Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And game of the year, this is where Anthony has somehow deviated because these two awards go hand in hand. He has said Titanfall 2.
What are you talking about? What two awards go hand in hand?
Game direction and game of the year.
Oh. Listen, something can have nicer direction and nicer style and then not be as good.
Totally, but that's generally not the case.
In this case, it is.
Okay. Okay. Anthony says, game of the year is Titanfall 2, and I have picked Overwatch.
For the record,
yeah,
game of the year is actually Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite.
So when we come at the end of the year and we do our game of the year part, you're going to stand by that.
Listen.
You're going to stand by that?
If unless I play something greater.
Okay.
Unless I play something greater.
Okay. All right. I look forward to when you don't say that. What do you want to bet?
I want to bet I don't know. We can't can we say what we're going to bet live on air? Like, is it illegal if it's money?
Sure.
Sure it's illegal?
It's one of them.
I didn't think of it this far.
Okay. Well, we'll think about it. How's that?
Easiest is money. Like $10.
I'll bet you $1.
I'll bet you $1 with a zero on the end of it.
You'll bet me $1 with a zero on the end of it?
Yeah, so $10.
I will bet you half of $2. I'll bet you half a toonie.
$1? Sure. Okay, I'll just owe you coffee or something.
You want to do the coffee bet, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Sure. Right. Fine. I'll remember this.
Right.
When you lose.
That's why I said when I owe you coffee.
Also, you know that you lost half these categories because you try to be too smart about it. Okay, we're at the hour mark, so let's rush to this, the rest of this. Talk to me about the games you've been playing.
Dude, I've been playing Doom.
Okay.
So I've gotten through like the first three levels of Doom, and that might be the best single-player first-person shooter campaign I've played in a long, long time.
What would be better?
What would be better than it?
Could you say a long, long time? So I'm just thinking about what else would rank up
there. What else would, like, the Call of Duty 2?
Oh, Call of Duty 2?
Or, not 2, sorry, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, okay.
Campaign in original Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein.
Okay.
The New Order.
Yeah.
There's the thing about the way this game feels and how you play it that brings old school charm with new school playability.
Mm.
Your running speed is always at a blistering pace,
mm,
and it only gets faster if you get an upgrade.
Mm.
All the guns feel like you're stopping people. Like these demons are coming at you hard and heavy with magical powers, yeah, and whatever they have, and you're just like, nah, fuck y'all, here's my sick combat shotgun. Yeah. I'm gonna blow you actually to bits. How the game is, like, how you play it pretty much is you can either A, just shoot people and just blow them up, or B, you can weaken them to a state where they're dazed pretty much, and you can go for what's called a glory kill, which is pretty much an execution.
Okay, I was gonna say that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it's a glory kill, and like they're disgusting.
I bet they are.
Like punch people's heads off, like put like kick a dude through the stomach, like just really graphic stuff.
Yeah.
And what that does is, if you kill someone with a glory kill, you get health from that kill 100% of the time.
Oh, so it's like the motivation to always.
To kill always them? Be up in their face and crushing their skulls.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. And then the third option of killing is with your chainsaw, your trusty chainsaw. Your chainsaw really only has, right now, my upgrades, you only have three times you can use it. And depending on how strong the enemy is, it'll use up either one, two, three pieces of fuel.
Mm.
But when you do that, they just explode ammo and health. It is pretty much like I'm in a dire situation. People are all around me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into this animated kill and get all my shit back. Pretty much.
Sounds like fun.
It's a fun trade-off between like running around and like peeking out of walls and then just like, I'm just going to go for it. Screw it. The other great thing about this game is the level design. The level design in this game is fun in a way where, even in like Wolfenstein, even in Call of Duty, where I never really felt like exploring the level and finding all the collectibles.
Right.
But in this game, I do, because the secrets are very clever.
Yeah.
And because the levels are multi-tiered, like being able to first person climb up to certain things or make certain jumps you didn't think were possible to get like collectibles. So like collectibles could be just upgrades and like upgrade points. They could be dossiers for you to read and get a whole deeper glimpse on why hell opened up again. And then the third one is my favorite, is little tiny Doom guys. You can find like Funko Pop equivalents. They're not Funko Pop branded, obviously, but they're just like little tiny Doom guys, and when you collect them, the Doom guy picks up little Doom guy and he like does a little animation. So one will be like, he sees it, checks it out, like moves its arm up and down. My favorite one is when you pick one up and then its arm is already out, and you bro fist the little Doom guy, and he's like, "Boo!" It's like the, you know, the BB-8,
yeah,
or not BB-8. Sorry, what's that Disney movie where he was in San Francisco?
Oh,
Big Hero 6.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Baymax. It's the Baymax thing where he goes, and it's that one's really cute. And then the final and fourth collectible are secret classic Doom rooms. So you pull, like, you got to find a secret level lever in a level.
Yeah.
And when you pull it, it unlocks a door that looks like it's a door from, like, Doom 2 or Doom 1. And when you walk in, all the textures are classic Doom textures.
Yeah.
And then the enemies are all 3D. So, like, it's the whole thing of, like, oh, look, there's a corpse on the ground. And when you try and circle around it, it's just the JPEG following you the whole time. Or all the ammo pickups are the old ammo helmets and stuff. And it's really clever because they're little secret rooms. They don't offer too much, so if you miss it, it's not a big deal. But it's like a little, it's a nice little nod back.
Yeah.
Cool. But that game so far is very fantastic. And the soundtrack is so good that I downloaded it. It's really good.
Wow.
So, yeah, like so far, this is like my favorite first person. This is maybe my favorite campaign experience of this year so far. And I'm only three levels in.
Wow.
So I think I have about 10 more levels to go. Yeah.
Cool.
And then we both played Titanfall 2.
Was that it? Like, is this the end of your week? Like, this is it, Titanfall?
I believe so.
Because Titanfall is the only thing I have, that's why.
Okay, let me double check. Let me check the drive.
Yeah.
Do-do-do. So, how about that local sports team?
Raptors.
It's pretty good, right?
I heard there was some bullshit about how they made the... they needed a... I can't believe if this was a week ago or 2 weeks ago... It was the fourth quarter.
Okay.
They made a shot, like, as just after the buzzer went.
Yeah.
From half court, they made it. And if they make it, it goes to overtime.
Yeah.
They make it.
Okay.
But then they're like, it doesn't count.
Why?
Because the opposing team, they were the away team. The Raptors were the away team. So they're at someone. They were at San Francisco.
Yeah.
They're like, San Francisco judges, they actually started the clock late. So it doesn't count.
That's stupid.
Yeah. They're like, there was an issue with the clock, so the clock was actually behind, so you actually missed it a long time ago.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
How is the player supposed to know that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's fucking stupid, but...
And how come they only mentioned it after the fact?
Well, because they were the away team.
Sports. Yeah. I was going to talk about JoJo's Eyes of Heaven.
Yeah.
But I haven't played enough of it.
Okay.
So I'm not going to talk about it.
Right. Okay. Cool.
But yeah, it does Titanfall.
Titanfall 2. Cool. Tell me about it.
Yo. Okay. Can we go full spoilers on Titanfall?
Let's just do it. Because here's the thing about Titanfall, guys. There's nothing we could say. Like, this game is not about the spoilers. It's about what you're doing. It's like experiencing it.
Like,
it was spoiler or not.
We're not even going to spoil, like, story beats.
No.
It's like, the story is pretty plain. Mm. But it's what they do with the story that is exciting.
Yeah.
They take that cookie cutter and they make it their own.
Yeah, basically, you know, it is very much a campaign like you'd expect from, like, a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
But it's just how they make getting from point A to point B interesting.
And how they flawlessly execute that, right?
Mm.
I want my own BT.
Mm. We all want a giant robot, buddy.
BT's hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought BT was hilarious. I laughed out loud like more than once during that campaign.
I think I've seen too many anime with that type of robot personality where it's just like, yeah, he played all the jokes I thought he would.
Okay. But yeah, it's really good. The campaign is made in such a way where it really takes advantage of the mobility the game offers.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you try and go for like all the secret collectible pilot helmets.
Yep.
And it's hard to explain without playing it. Like, it's just, they just so flawlessly create these levels. Like, they're just as open jungle gyms for you to wall jump and boost up to different places.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fantastic. The whole thing, the whole package is fantastic beginning to end, mm-hmm. even for as plain as it is.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's also super short.
It is.
I think it's like a 6-hour campaign, not even.
Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and like I'm not even complaining.
Yeah.
Like, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more stuck on like that, how good it is. Do you have anything more of depth to add to that conversation or?
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, it's super fun. But it's the mechanics of Titanfall. It's always been that way. Like, it's all about mobility, it's about wall running, double jumping, you have your cloak. There are certain levels which are really cool. There's one that deals with time travel, like on the fly time travel. Like, you go in
and press a button.
Yeah. And there's a lot of platforming that relies on it. And they constantly make you feel like every new level is different, but they each have a gimmick to them that makes them exciting.
It's like a whole thing of like the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah.
Like every gimmick, it looks like it's gonna like completely change how you play this level.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's really just a really clever smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Of like, totally. No, you're still gonna be wall running and sliding and whatever, mm-hmm. but you're just gonna be doing it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun how they force you to have to separate from your giant robot friend.
Yep.
There's just some really cool levels. Or scenery, like one of the early ones is you're in a warehouse assembly,
mm-hmm.
and they're building out in urban environments, and you're on this assembly line.
And you have to travel the assembly line, get off before it goes into certain phases.
Just like the concept behind that whole level, just really cool.
And it looks fantastic going from mm-hmm. point A to point B, like just like you said.
Yeah, it's a modern first-person shooter campaign with boss battles.
Yeah. Just straight boss battles. Like, they show the boss, put a name card beside him, freeze frame, and then go fight.
Yeah, the boss has, like, an opening one-liner before you go into fight. And if you execute the boss, it's a special execution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I also like the convenience of being able to switch your Titan loadout on the fly.
Yeah, that, like, part of the story didn't make sense.
It does not make sense. It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But it's like a gameplay caveat of like, we want you to have like max amount of fun.
Yeah,
it does. So it's like, I feel like playing the Ronin now.
Yeah.
Let's go do that.
Yeah, totally. Right. Weapons are all very interesting and fun to use. Mm-hmm.
I really like the shotgun with that's strictly horizontal shots.
Yeah.
And like has travel on the bullets. I think
it's like the Mastiff.
Mastiff.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
That one's a good gun.
It is. I think I used the Volt for a lot of it.
Okay.
The submachine gun that shoots electricity.
I used the double tap one. The one, the sniper rifle that shoots two bullets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used that one.
Yeah. I found, though, at the end of the day, as fun as it was, like, it still was a Call of Duty-like campaign.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, enemies entered the room. My first thought wasn't, I'm going to shoot them all down. My thought was, how am I going to get to the side of this room really fast? And because it's Titanfall and because it's about running on walls, I found that I went through levels super quick. And they were over before I knew it. And it was kind of like, maybe I could have had a little bit more fun with that. And then I was like, oh, I hope this, maybe this game is more about making your own fun. And
yeah,
I suppose I wanted them to just guide me through a more scripted experience.
So for me, there was only one instance where I ran through without killing people.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was, my thing was like, here's a room full of enemies.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure out the most insane movie action ways to blow them up.
Yeah.
Right. And like stuff just like, I'm going to go here and slide under this thing, wall run, pop this guy in the head, jump into my Titan, shoot off a laser, get out, do whatever. Yeah. Right. It was, for me, it was really make your own fun.
Yeah.
And then there are also times of, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? The time that I had to, run, like I only ran through a level was when I thought that I could only hold a certain weapon.
Oh.
There's a section in the game where you get pretty much an electricity gun.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a hack gun.
Yeah.
Like you shoot electricity at a thing and it hacks it.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought during the whole time, you could only have this gun.
Yeah.
When it turns out,
yeah,
you don't.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I went through that whole segment with only this electric gun.
Yeah.
And it changed things up. It made things fun. It was more about dodging and being clever with the cloak and being as fast as possible on my feet rather than I'm going to stop and pop. Right? And because I have been doing the stop and pop the whole game, it was almost like a brush of fresh air. Without me, but it was like an accident because apparently I could have just stopped and popped.
Yeah, you could.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's on me, but it was still fun. Even when I thought my way of playing was taken away from me, I still managed to find a way to have fun going through that level.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite moment in the campaign?
My favorite moment is anytime BT throws you.
Oh, okay.
There's and like any little interactions with BT. There is one segment where you reconnect with BT and you go into the cockpit. Cockpit's open, or you're in his hand. Sorry, you're in his hand, and he looks at you, right? And you go, "Good job, guy. Good job, bud." And you give him a thumbs up. And then BT looks at his hand open, and he kind of doesn't know what to do with his fingers.
Yeah.
And then eventually, it's like, thumbs up.
Yeah.
And he gives it back. And there's a lot of little moments like that. Mm-hmm. And the whole game is just like me and my bro, BT.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
It's fun. Right.
My favorite part of the whole campaign was at the level where, for certain reasons, you're on your own. And you have, and the only thing you have on you is a hack knife and the smart pistol.
Oh, the smart, that was a good.
And
that's a good.
And segment. He's just like, you gotta run.
You gotta run.
And you feel amazing.
Because you're wall running through this segment. The thing is, okay, if anybody who has seen the movie The Kingsman, there is a scene at the end of that movie that is stylized violence. It is people having their heads explode and helmets popping off.
Yeah.
But this is that, but you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? You're walking around, wall running, mid-air, locking onto four dudes, going, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
And then just watching their helmets go, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Right?
It and you just, amazing.
You feel unstoppable.
Yeah, you do.
And you are, technically.
Yeah. It brought back so many memories from first Titanfall when you first get the smart pistol and you're like, this is unreal.
Yeah.
But yeah. No,
it's great.
That was amazing. Yeah.
That's a great segment.
Yeah.
Man, now I want to watch The Kingsman again.
Mm.
It's a side note.
But this is only one half of the game. The big meat of the game is, of course, the multiplayer.
Yep.
What do you think of the multiplayer?
The multiplayer, as someone who only played like maybe a handful of matches in Titanfall 1, I was 100% ready for Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. Because this is all, for me, this is all new to me, right? The whole, just the movement around the map, the clever ways you can use perks to get around campers,
yeah,
or to get around Titans. Like, yeah, it's like, oh man, I'm a dude, and this Titan's gonna wreck me.
Yeah,
let's see how, like, in what clever way I can get away.
Mm-hmm.
The mobility is what makes that multiplayer.
Yeah,
and without it, I think it's just an average shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it also, the levels for me seem like a little bit too corridored.
Very much. Even when you're in your Titan.
Yeah, and especially in more modes that I like to play, which are capture the point or capture the flag type stuff, right? Yeah. Where it's like, if I had more free reign, I think this would go way better.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, look, I'm wall running, but I'm in like a tube.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, this is kind of defeats the purpose. Like, yeah, I want to be wall running on the side of a billboard outside on a roof and jumping rooftop to rooftop.
Yeah.
But there are perks that allow you, that I feel like the potential of them are wasted within these corridor maps.
Yeah.
So, for example, the prime one for me is the grappling hook.
Yeah.
When they showed the grappling hook for the first time, I was like, oh shit, that looks sick.
Yeah.
You are just lashing onto people, lashing onto outdoor areas. But the thing is, like, the levels don't have that many outdoor areas. A lot of it takes place in small corridor areas. So grappling hook's almost useless because you can't, I think we talked about this earlier in the week.
Yeah.
You can get anywhere that the grappling hook will let you get to.
Yeah.
Right? For me, the grappling hook should be a distance booster rather than a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It should be something to enhance your skill rather than you relying on it.
Yeah.
And the way the levels are mapped out for the grapple hook makes it a crutch rather than a skill booster.
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to run across a building, see a Titan coming straight at me, be like, fuck that shit, grapple hook to a corner and wrap around.
Yeah.
Right? But there's nothing in any of the levels so far that allow me to take advantage of those kind of situations.
Right.
There's other things like the stim, which are fun, cloak, that's kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You
haven't unlocked the one where you put up a shield, right?
I have not.
Oh.
That one seems like Camp Central.
It does.
Okay. But it seems like there's counters for whatever.
Yeah, there's hard counters.
Yeah, there's hard counters for everything. And you just have to be loaded out. Like, it really sucks if you're just like, hey, look, I'm all lethality and here's a shield.
Oh.
Fuck. Right? I'm just boned. But if you're pumped out with, like, arc grenades, like, shut that shield down. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Shoot them in the face. Right? I kind of wish the levels were wider.
Mm.
Maybe, like, not necessarily bigger, like, in total area size, but more open.
Mm. Yeah. Cool.
But I think the shooting's spot on. I think the mobility's spot on.
Yeah.
I just think they need better maps.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I think in I played a lot of the first one. Like, a lot of the first one.
This must hit you harder than me.
Totally.
Because to me, this is, like, a minor downside, but, like, it's still fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas you're probably coming at it from, like, no, I know what.
Yeah,
the grass was greener over here.
Yeah, like, it's very rare that I look back with these shooter games and be like, the previous one was better. Because I'm always thinking, like, no, the sequels generally, they do fix the complaints from the first.
Mm-hmm.
But with Titanfall, like, if I had to describe it, like, Titanfall 1 compared to, say, Modern Warfare 3 or something, right?
Okay.
It felt like this huge leap in terms of what they were trying to do. They're like, no, we're not going to be sitting in these houses. In these corridors and hallways, we're jumping around.
No Nuketown.
Yeah, we're gonna have giant robots, we're gonna do shit. And that's what they did. Titanfall 2 seems like they've reined it back a little bit. They're like, okay, maybe that was a bit too experimental for some of the Call of Duty crowd.
Okay.
So we're gonna make it a bit more familiar, and that comes back to the map design, which is very... I feel like these maps could be in Call of Duty. In
some of them, I would argue, but, like, I could see a couple other ones just being like, no, these could be Call of Duty maps.
Yeah, like, some of them are just like, oh, man, I feel like we're just going through these narrow hallways and corridors and stuff, and they completely, take away the whole point of you being amazingly mobile and jump wall jumping and stuff. There's that. But I do feel like, you know, the shooting, the way you jump, the way it feels, like, everything you can you control and you're able to do feels amazing.
Mm.
I love how they've changed the Titans to class-based.
Yep.
in their specific class base. Like, you can't really change their loadouts.
And there's a lot more variety of Titans.
Yeah. Because in the first one, the problem was you had a full custom Titan.
Yeah.
And you could pick whatever you want. Like, you could pick the thin frame with the biggest gun. Mm-hmm. So you were a glass cannon. Yeah. Like, literally. I like how they changed that. I miss some smaller features. Like, before, you could choose the voice for your Titan.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was just small custom things, and, like, yeah, I miss that. But yeah, like, the maps, for me, I wish they were more vertical.
Okay.
I wish they're... In Titanfall 1, if you were a pilot, it was almost guaranteed you were never on the ground, because there was always a vertical component that you could be on.
Okay.
Somewhere that the Titans couldn't reach.
I remember there was one map that had a bunch of, like, skyscrapers in, like, a desert area. Yeah. And you could, like, run across the skyscrapers from one end to the other.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, Titanfall 2's map design is not like that at all.
Okay.
It doesn't have any of that stuff. And that really upsets me. It's just, like... And they've taken away a lot of other environmental things. Your hack knife is essentially useless in multiplayer now.
It's super slow.
It's slow because they got rid of the perk that lets it do speed up. But those robots are the only things you could hack now. Before, yeah. There used to be emplacement turrets you could hack for auto firing, or you could control them.
Yeah.
The game used to have zip lines across everywhere, so you could just travel faster. They've gotten rid of that for some reason. It feels a little like the whole tempo of the game feels a little slower, and that kind of bums me out. It doesn't seem as bombastic as it used to be. Mm. But they've traded it with a lot more interesting equipment loadout.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of give and take. Speaking of which, the new DLC is coming, and the big thing about this DLC map is that it's one of the old maps. It's probably the most popular of the old maps.
It's also probably important to mention that all the DLC maps coming out for Titanfall are free.
Yeah.
They're just free updates.
Yeah, and I hope they follow the design trend of the older ones, just because I like that those types of maps better.
Okay.
The only issue is how long is DLC going to take for this game? Because it's been 1 month since the game's come out, and I think this trailer showed off one map,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like...
It's just Angel City?
Yeah, and it's like, are we getting one map for a month? And it's like, that doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah.
And like... And, like, by the time they all come out, will this game still hold my interest? Will I be back by the... Like, I'm afraid that this game is going to be, the game that I want to play a year from now when I don't have any interest in playing it.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's my big issue. I wish they brought back regular hardpoint.
Yeah. Amped hardpoint is fun, but there's no bots. No grunts.
And I feel like that's Titanfall.
Yeah.
Like...
If we're as minor as they seem, like, always having something to shoot at took away the stress of, like, dude, I'm on, like, a 5-death streak.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the grunts always made it seem like at least you were contributing, because they do count towards...
And they count for points.
Yeah, and there's been many games where I've definitely taken first spot, not because I had the most pilot kills, but because I just ran through a billion minions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or hacked a bunch of bots.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's how you win.
Mm.
That said, I'm pretty addicted to it.
Yeah, for me, I think, like, the final thing I want to say is, like, the game definitely feels its weakest in multiplayer when you only feel a threat on a 2D plane.
Yeah.
When I only feel a threat coming from front or behind,
yeah.
That's where it's just like, this is like any other shooter.
Yeah.
Where Titanfall is really exciting is when I'm like, I could be attacked from above.
Yeah.
I could be attacked from anywhere in this 360 space.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that game separate from the rest.
Yeah. I also enjoy how they modified how do you attack Titans.
Okay.
The battery system.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Instead of, like, rodeo and shooting them?
Yeah, it doesn't look as cool as you ripping off a panel and then exposing the weak point and
shooting it.
Like, it doesn't look as cool as that.
It's also a little more annoying to do it because, like, you can take out the battery the first time.
Yeah.
But then the second time you jump on them, you drop a grenade in a hole.
Yeah.
Right? But then you just jump off again. And you have to get on again.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But I guess it's to be a little bit less devastating, because I felt like in the first game, the few times I played it, if you didn't have electric smoke, you were fucked.
So that's the thing. In the first game, electric smoke wasn't mandatory on your Titan. Like, you could switch that out for, like, an extra set of cluster missiles or something. Yeah. And I never took electric smoke with me, so I was always under heavy fire from pilots. In this one, they're like, every Titan has electric smoke.
And if you want, you could have two.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember the first one, what I used to do is I took cluster missiles, and if someone rodeoed me, I'd shoot my cluster missiles at a wall, then I'd turn around and back up into it.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I don't know, Titanfall 2 is great.
Yeah, no, yeah, I still think that multiplayer is fantastic. I just do wish the maps were a little bit more open.
Yeah. They definitely took an interesting stance on, there's no stats screen. Like, you cannot see stats in this game.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Which is weird, because the first game... They had the most stats I've ever seen in a video game.
I think I like the no stats thing. It's less of a distraction.
Yeah, and then you're not worried about the numbers and like or the meta of your guns or whatever. Yeah.
All you care about is that team score.
Yeah. The only thing that it does annoy me is like in some of the skin unlocks, they say I have to do a certain amount of things, but I don't really know what those things are defined as.
Okay.
Like, for example, killing spree, like, what is that? Like, you'll have to get, like...
Is it 2, 3?
Is it 3, 4, 5? Is it quick kills in a row? Or is it just I don't die? Is it... Okay. Like, there's things like that where I'm like, I don't know how to unlock this. I wish there was, like, a legend. Okay. But that's it. But yeah, that's Titanfall.
Yeah, that game's good.
It's a good game.
Really good.
Especially since it was on sale. It's worth it.
Yeah. Black Friday.
Yeah.
Get there.
Yeah. I think America had it for $30. We had it for $50.
Yeah. Our dollar sucks.
Yeah. But it was still worth it, totally. Excited. I'm glad I got it.
Same.
Pretty pumped. Giant Robots for the win.
That's I think that game's definitely on my top 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might hear from me again later on in the year. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up with Kamen Rider time.
Dude.
We watched episode 7.
This one's probably a quick one.
Yeah.
Yo.
Oh.
The bike.
Yo.
He's not a bike anymore.
He got a human form.
It's a samurai bike.
Yeah. He's got sickles that turn into a bow and arrow.
And that shoot homing bows or homing arrows.
Yeah.
That guy's out of control.
Mm.
Though, I think the one thing I want to mention about this is that this is probably, for me, any Kamen Rider I've seen, the cleverest villains that I've seen ever in a Kamen Rider. Like, so in this episode, there was the whole situation of the bike guy outed evil Gaim as being the CEO.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, oh, nani? Oh. Eh? And when they defeated evil Gaim, at the last second, one of the crew rolls up. He's like, nah, dog, I got this. Yeah. Teleport back. I'll be here when the explosion settles.
Yeah.
Right? And when the explosion settles, someone else.
Yeah.
Which then turns the good guys on the good guys.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a liar. Nothing you say is ever true or blah, blah, blah. I can't trust you. And I was just like, at that moment, I'm like, damn, Kamen Rider. Yeah. Like, you pulled some punches. Like, geez. I thought this episode was cool.
Yeah. What I like about this episode is, I think, for me, it cemented who my favorite rider is at the moment.
Which is?
The bike guy.
Bike guy's cool.
I really like his whole story, his motivations,
his Oni-chan,
his friend, so they're all doctors, right?
Yeah.
And Emu, our hero, and it's all about like their bedside manner. Emu wants to be like honest and open, but he wants to be full of hope, whereas his friend, what's his name, Brave, he's more like, you just gotta tell him how it is, straight.
Yeah.
And then don't get attached.
Yeah, don't get attached. Just do your job. Go to the next patient.
Yeah, and then, but bike guy's more just like, sometimes you gotta hold the truth. Sometimes you can't tell the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just better.
Yeah.
And it goes into his whole line. And even for him, it's like, he was trying to be honest with everybody.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
he blew
up in his face. But he didn't turn around and be like, oh shit, sorry. It was like, he just played with the lie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you are very interesting, and I like that.
And that's what he did at the end of the episode too, when everyone was like, nah, like, you're a liar, I can't trust you, and everything. Yeah. He could have just been like, dude, no, something else happened.
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact this is who this is. And he's just like, all right, you got played, bud.
Yeah,
and I then got he a did, sick new thing.
Yeah, and he just rolled with it, and it's just like, but on the inside, you know, he's got like feelings that he's just, he can't express himself.
He's hurting.
Yeah.
He's hurting.
But he doesn't want to tell anybody.
He wears his feelings on his Hawaiian shirt sleeve.
No, his feelings are his jacket, which he never puts on.
True.
Yeah.
True. He just rested on his shoulders.
Yeah, so. I definitely like him as a character. He's super cool.
But other than character development, this was just a, here's a new power episode. Yeah. nothing really major in the story happened.
Mm-hmm. Next episode looks similar. Someone's gonna fly.
We're gonna get what's his face? Because the Bugster. Yeah. This Bugster split into two separate ones.
Yeah, two viruses.
Yeah, two separate viruses. So there's one more, which is probably gonna be the shooty shoot guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna get a new thing.
Kamen Rider Shoot, Snipe.
Kamen Rider Snipe.
Snipe,
apparently he's just gonna turn into like a Robotech missile. And shoot hella missiles.
Yep.
So that'd be cool.
There you go. Kamen Rider continues to be good and weird and strange.
Just like it should be.
Yeah. It knows what it is and it's not hiding that fact.
I just still wish someone would appear and go, I love space.
Yeah, Forza's done.
Forza.
But,
so good.
Uchukita.
Uchukita.
Oh, well. That's it for us, too. We're done, too.
Yeah.
We're done for the week. There you go. Have fun with that. Next week, who knows what happens next week? It was a big week this week.
Yeah, it was a big week.
Despite it being Thanksgiving in America and no news, we managed to find tons of stuff to talk about.
We did.
So, there you have it.
Especially the sick Optimus Prime toy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
See you later.